Okay, great, wonderful. Okay, give a big hand to all this who put this thing together. So good to see all of you. Amazing, amazing. It was exactly 6 months ago when I last preached here. I could see you all so much better looking, okay, and everything else, all right? It's just really so, so good indeed. And this is amazing because for the first time in church history, last 2,000 years, we are told to come to church with a mask on. I thought we were not supposed to come with a mask to church. Amen, isn't it? We're supposed to be authentic, transparent, okay, honest, and no hiding behind a mask, isn't it? So what a really a paradox in that sense that we ought to come, and not just for us here in Malaysia, it's all across the whole world. Amen? Okay, so good to see you all, okay, like this this afternoon, all right? Okay, and so it's good to connect after preaching several churches in person. It's good just to be back in our own church to be able to connect with you all like this in a wonderful manner. Amen? Okay, now we're going to read a passage of scripture, all right? And I titled this evening's message as Shining Like Stars in the Universe, okay? All right, Shining Like Stars in the Universe. And this is taken Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16, all right? Why don't we stand together and read the Word of God in our strongest, loudest, most robust DUMC voices together? Come, one, two, three, let's go. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but also much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in a universe, as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that did not run or labor for nothing. Our Father, again, we thank and praise you for the joy, the privilege that is ours to get in your name like this in person, so God. Father, we worship, we adore you, that you have kept us all well. Our Father, we praise and we celebrate your grace, your goodness upon us all as we meet like this, oh God, including all the others of us online. You will bless us, speak to us, and challenge us to draw us all in response. Our Father, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Would you take our seats? Amen. Now, how many of us, okay, we feel that as Christians and as a church, we are really making a difference, making an impact in Malaysian society? Can you see your hands? How many of us? Okay, great. How many of us, we feel that we have, there's no impact whatsoever about Christians and the church in Malaysia? Can I see your hands? Okay, no one. How many of us have felt a little bit of influence, impact? Can I see your hands? How many of us? Okay, all right, that's great. You know what? There is actually a copy of a directory of social concerns ministries in Malaysia, Christian ones. And you know how many are there? There are over 400, all right, Christian social concerns ministries, organizations in Malaysia, both by church and parachurch and all kinds of things happening. And you know what, friends, I believe this copy must be presented to the government to let the government know, all right, millions and millions every year, if not even tens, if not might be even 100 million that Christians poured into to serve the nation from year to year like this, friends. This is so important. Read it. DMC's name is all there and so on and so forth. And that's the reason why, friends, you know, although we may wish, I wish, we make a huge impact in our nation, but the reality is we are not making as much an impact as we should, really. All right? And my prayer is to join us together to believe God, that increasingly we will shake this nation for the Lord Jesus Christ, all God's people say. Isn't it? And this is where, friends, as I grieve and think about it very, very much, especially during this lockdown period, I begin to wonder, Lord, what can we do? How can we really make a difference in our nation, even Malaysia like this? See? And this is where, friends, I'm drawn to four young men in the Bible. How many young men are here? Can I see your hands? Okay, how many young men? Oh, my goodness, the rest of us, old men, old women, God have mercy upon us. You know that my hand is out. Okay, I'm a young man because age is only a figure in our head. Amen. But friends, you know what? There are four young teenagers. And these four young teenagers make a huge impact in the Babylonian kingdom. And you know who I'm referring to? It is Daniel and the three friends. In fact, what happens is when they were recruited, okay, by the king, all right, Nebuchadnezzar himself into, all right, his Nebuchadnezzar academy, as it were, for training. They were only about 15 years old. And after 3 years of training, they were released to serve, all right, the mighty Babylonian kingdom. And look at the influence, impact they had, really in a powerful manner. And this is where, friends, you know what, we're going to learn lessons from this, and which is so important, isn't this, especially for those who are young people. Be encouraged, friends. Never let people look down upon your age. A proposal Paul writes to young Timothy like this. Come, let's write. Let's read together. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example of believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And all the young people especially say, so important, isn't it, for all of us, all right, that no matter our age, even young Timothy like this, pastoring this great church in Ephesus, Paul has to remind him, right? Don't let people look down upon you, no matter who you are, what you are, in spite of your age. Set an example of the others. And this is where, friends, you know what? We can learn from the example of Daniel and the three friends, how in an amazing manner they make huge influence, huge impact, all right, across the whole Babylonian empire. In fact, Daniel himself served under four kings, all right? Nebuchadnezzar, his son Belteshazzar, and then Darius, as well as Cyrus. Amazingly, friends, he served until something 85 years old, from 50 to 85. And what a huge influence, impact we're going to see. So therefore, how did it make that difference? What lessons can we draw so that increasingly, my prayer is, even here in Malaysia, we make an increasing marked difference, okay, in our land. Amen, isn't it? What is it that makes a difference for all of us? How is it they could shine like stars to the universe? Three important marks, friends, I want to suggest okay, this afternoon for all of us. The first mark is that they are rooted despite being uprooted. All right, because they've been taken from Judah, right, as exiles to Babylon. And so therefore, they uprooted every one of them, okay, and taken to Babylon. And yet, you know, friends, they are rooted, and they're very clear about their rootedness, all right, in God in a wonderful manner. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Come, let's read together. All right, these are the three friends of Daniel by the name of together. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. Because why? Nebuchadnezzar was so angry, he erected a huge statue, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. And at the sound of the bell or the gong or the music, everybody in this kingdom across the whole Babylonian empire must bow down to this huge, massive image he has created. But the three friends of Daniel refused to bow down. And finally, the king said to them, right, we'll give you one more chance. If you bow down at the sound of music, then you're fine. But if you refuse to bow down, you'll be thrown to the blazing furnace. And this is the response. You notice, friends, here that Daniel records for us. Come together, let's read. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Isn't that amazing? These are all young lads, and they're very clear about their roots, about their foundation. They refuse to be shaken in spite of the massive power of the king like this. And that's important. And therefore, friends, you know what? At the heart of it all, you notice these people, Daniel and his friends, they are anchored in the God of Israel. And that's what is important for us, friends, at a starting point, to see the difference they are making, because the right at the start is that they know who this God is that they worship, and they're anchored and rooted in this God. And their rootedness, friends, in this God of Israel is reflected in three areas, three important areas. Firstly, friends, they remind themselves as to who they are by taking a stand. Unafraid to take a stand no matter what. Okay, and here in Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 and 12, whereby the four young men were recruited, as it were, into the Babylonian Academy or Nebuchadnezzar's Academy to be trained, right, to be released eventually into civil service. And they were offered all kinds of stuff, the wonderful food, okay, in order that they would really be equipped well as if they serve in the Babylonian kingdom. But this is the response, you notice, friends, of Daniel and his friends. All right, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 and 12. Together, come, let's read. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. See, the Babylonians thought that by offering them the best of the best food, as it were, all right, nobody would reject that. But Daniel and their friends, they knew we're different altogether. It's not because of your food, O king, all right, and we're willing to take a stand, right, and to let you know that we are different. And this is so important, friends, can I say, for every one of us. Why? Because as Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, which we are really familiar, come, let's read again together what it says. Jesus says like this, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it make salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let the light shine before men. They may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Friends, very simply, we are salt and light in the world. And therefore, friends, what happens? We are different altogether compared to those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And we must remind ourselves, friends, that we are different. If we do everything that they do, our colleagues, our friends, our neighbors, our classmates do, friends, if there's no difference in us, we're in big trouble, big, big trouble. If I just give an example, just two Fridays ago, I was having breakfast with an MP, all right, member of parliament, okay, here in Kuala Lumpur, and chatted and talked and had a wonderful time together with Doris Present. And then near the end, he said, you know, Pastor Daniel, I always struggle in my political career. I wrestle like crazy. You know what I said to him? My brother, I want to let you know, if there is no struggle you have in a political career, I want to say to you, you are in big trouble. It means you have compromised. It means you go with the flow. It means that you swim and you do whatever according to the dictates of the world, and you're big, big trouble like this, friends. I expect you to struggle all the way through life, like everyone knows, wherever God has put us in. Can you amen for that? Unless the environment we're in is so Christian, maybe like UMC, that there's no struggle whatsoever. But anywhere, friends, even in UMC, there will be struggles, right? Because none of us are perfect. Hello? Isn't it? And therefore, there will always be the challenges. We're swimming upstream. We're constantly, friends, you and I must remember, we're swimming upstream, okay, in our witness for the Lord in our journey of faith. And we must remember that we're different. If we are the same as everybody else, we are finished. We have no more witness for the Lord. It means we are compromised. Okay, that's the first thing. They're willing to take a stand to say we are different. Not only that, friends. Secondly, you notice they guard their identity by having regular fellowship with one another. See, Daniel and their friends, they meet regularly together. And here's just one instance where they met together, whereby Nebuchadnezzar, in his dream, he asked all the wise men of Babylon to interpret for him his dream without telling his dream. All right, and so none of his magicians, enchanters, and wise men of Babylon could interpret for him, could tell him the dream first and then interpret. All right, and Daniel and the friends were also drawn in to be executed, as it were. Okay, Daniel said, wait, okay, let me consult my God, and I'll tell you exactly what your dream is, but also give it an interpretation. But you know what happens when Daniel came back? There's a record for us in Daniel 2, verses 17 and 18, the first part of it together. Come, let's read. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. So here's Daniel meeting with friends. All right. And earlier on, as they were being trained in 3 years in a Babylonian academy, they have been fellowshiping with one another. And friends, can I say, this is so important. And this afternoon, if any one of you are not in a cell room, can I urge you, plead with you, belong to one, because we all need this. But at whatever stage, our journey of faith, can we amen for that? So important, friends, whereby there's mutual support and encouragement, whereby we watch over one, we encourage, we pray, we do everything needful, isn't it? To grow in our journey of faith. We all need that, no matter how spiritual we are, isn't it? And so you notice, friends, right, to make sure they are really rooted in God himself like this, they're willing to take a stand so they don't compromise whatsoever. Second, you notice in this regard here, they make sure that they're constantly in fellowship to God to keep their identity in Christ. But third and finally, friends, in the rootedness, you notice, right, they ground their destiny by studying scriptures together. And this is what it is. See, friends, when they exile from Judah to that of Babylon, you know what? One of the important things they carried along with them is the Bible. The Old Testament, of course, in this case here. All right? They never, never, friends, go anywhere without carrying the Word of God with them. You know that? This is so critical, so crucial for all of us, friends. You know, this is what grounds them, okay? The Word of God, I said, is so important. And this record for us, just about Daniel himself, it says like this, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 9. Come together, let's read. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. You see, friends, Daniel recognized the destiny of God's people, even under exile, there in Babylon. We're destined for bigger things, for greater things. We're not meant, right, to end our life just like this. And this is so important for all of us, listen, that all of us in our journey of faith, we're destined for bigger things. And all God's people say, isn't it? It is not just that we fade or we die and that is the end of it all, friends. There are greater things to come, more things God has in store for us in spite of the pandemic. Amen. Isn't it critical for you and I to understand this? And that's the reason why we, you and I must be rooted in the God of the Bible. Because once we shift our roots, we begin to compromise, we lose identity. Because why? Our roots have moved, and that's where we get ourselves into trouble. Give you an example about this MP I had breakfast with. Is it Pastor Daniel? I was offered a jump ship in this recent thing. And friends, you're talking about tens of millions. Just say yes. Tens of millions will be yours. And it's not just once. Three times. Even the fourth time, they still have his arm. Just say yes. Friends, if you're not strong, if you're not well-rooted, in two lifetimes, you will never earn this kind of money. Isn't it? No way you can earn this kind of money. And it's so easy. And in fact, you know, they will tell you, you don't have to worry. We will have our own cyber troopers to cook up story for you, to make you look so good in your jumping. It is that ridiculous today in Malaysia. Another meeting, I spoke to politicians a few years ago. This guy came up to me and said, Pastor, you know how much I was offered? I was offered $60 million to jump. And this guy who told me is not even a Christian. I told him, well done, my friend. I so appreciate and commend you for resisting this kind of temptation and that you're unwilling to exchange your character for cash. And that is what is needed, especially for us as Christians. Get a good amen for that, isn't it? Because once we do that, friends, we are tainted for the rest of our life. Our witness is gone forever and ever, friends, and it's not worth it at all. Amen, isn't it? And that's why, friends, you notice here, for Daniel and his friends, they were rooted clearly. They were not compromised, willing to face the wrath even of the Babylonian king and the empire like this. And that's what you and I, friends, must really gather. If you're going to make a difference, roots is so, so important for all of us, isn't it? All right, I told him, if you're taking the money, you're finished forever. You have lost credibility, lost respect. This more than that, this will stay in your life forever. Think about your children, your grandchildren in a few days. It would be such a disgrace, isn't it? But some people never think about the cost involved, sadly. They just take for the convenience, for the pleasure of it all like this, isn't it? That's the first thing, friends. If we're going to make a difference, we must know our roots and remain steadfast in our roots like this. The second thing, you notice, friends, with Daniel and the three friends, is to do with, let me take a bit more about the Word of God that is so important. They know their destiny. And the Bible says like this, Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And then also, all right, verses 99, 100, it says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on the statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for obey your precepts. This book, critical and important for all of us. I trust we'll dig into this book. This gives us clarity. This gives us conviction. This gives us, friends, confidence. This gives us our destiny. Without this book, we're all in deep, deep trouble, friends. So can I urge you, spend time in it. And I thank God for this young MP that I mentor into politics. He's clear about God's calling upon his life. He's committed to the Word of God. And he's going to journey in spite of the cost involved. All right, to pray by God's grace in a small way that he will make a difference where God has called him and put him in. And I trust this will apply for every one of us, wherever we are, and all God's people say. Now, the second thing, friends, that we're going to shine like stars in the universe is that sometimes we're immersed, but we must never be submerged. And you see this, friends, all right, in the lives of Daniel, the three friends, how are they immersed in it? Here, chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. This is now the record for us. Come, let's read together, okay? Then the king ordered Aspenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they would enter the king's service. Isn't it amazing? Given as it were the best of the best. But can I say, the Babylonian Empire is a really very advanced empire. You know that? All right, you might remember I preached a sermon on this, I think about 2 years ago, to talk about this. Babylonian Empire in terms of science, technology, engineering, architecture, and law. They were the leading ones in the world during the time like this, friends. There is a code of Hammurabi, for example, that spells out the legal system of the day that today many lawyers admire, the thinking behind and advance of it all. There is a Hanging Garden of Babylon, as we all know, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, isn't it? In fact, friends, you know what? Every one of us in this world has something Babylonian on all of us. You know that? Every one of us has something Babylonian, all of us. And what is that? If you've got a phone or a hand watch, you've got a handphone or a watch, right? What is that? Our time. Our time is Babylonian. You know that? Why is it, for example, 1 hour should be 60 minutes and 1 minute should be 60 seconds? Have you ever thought about it? Have your children ever debated with you that why must it be 60 minutes and in 1 hour? Why must it be 60 seconds? Cannot be 30 minutes? Cannot be 5 minutes? Why only must it be 60 all the time? Think about it, friends. The mathematics behind it all is brilliant, brilliant, you know. And that's the invention of the Babylonians. So that shows how advanced actually they are like this. And so you know what? Daniel 3, friends, were totally immersed in Babylonian culture and everything else in the kingdom. And you notice what they do to them. At the heart of it, friends, you know what? The Babylonians are out to Babylonize everyone. They're out to change everyone. That's the aim, all right? Everyone in my kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar say, I want to turn every one of it into a Babylonian. And that's the heart of it. So what does he do? There's three things that we notice, friends, very clearly under instruction, certainly of Nebuchadnezzar. Firstly, friends, you notice, it changed their names, isn't it? And so chapter 1, verse 7, the chief officials gave them new names to Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, the four names actually refer to the four Babylonian gods. And likewise, in the Hebrew names of these people, it also referred to the God of the Bible, actually. What is the name, for example? What's the meaning of the name Daniel? Anyone? Okay. It's a very serious case. In fact, a few years ago, after Celebration Sunday, I went to a visitor's lounge, had to meet some new people. And this young man, I said, hi, what's your name? He said, my name is Daniel. That's a fantastic name, probably the best in the whole world. So Daniel, are you a Christian? He says, no. I said, how can that name not be a Christian? He says, it sounds very nice. I said, it's more than sounding nice. You know what I mean? No idea. Just I like the name, it sounds nice. I said, you know what? The meaning is, God is my judge. That's the meaning of the name Daniel. So if you don't know him, you're in big serious trouble with my God. So you want to accept Jesus? He said, can I better accept now since you frightened me like that. Then a few minutes later, a lady walked in and he said, that's my wife. Oh, Rio, that's your wife. I said, you know what? Daniel has just accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So would you like to? You better do. He said, can also since my husband accepted. Since just within 5 minutes, friends. Two persons that trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior. So friends, you know, all these names, like your name and my name, there is a meaning to it. Amen? Isn't it? Unless you're given the name Agu Akaula. Even then, your friends, the Chinese parents, unfortunately, call them by those kind of names, like calling the name of a pig or a dog or a cat like this. In fact, there's a belief system behind it. No time for me to explain, but really it's a belief system behind it as to why they name the kids like this. But whatever it is, you know, friends, they are trying to change the identity of the three friends, of the four persons here like this. Not only that, you notice, friends, they were immersed in the language literature of the Babylonians, as we saw. He was to teach them the language literature of Babylonians. What is the purpose of it all? It is really, friends, to change the mind, the heart, and the soul. It is to culturalize them, as it were, in all the wisdom and literature and the language of the Babylonians, so they begin to think like them, so that you begin to behave like them. And that's the purpose of it all. More than that, one more thing they're throwing as a bonus for all of them. Why? Because they're given the best of food and wine. How many of us love Malaysian food? Can I see your hands? If your hand is not up, you'd really need prayer, isn't it? So many foreigners come here, don't want to go home. One of the reasons, because of the good food here, isn't it? And our food is really very good. Amen, isn't it? We thank God for the good food that is available. But here, you notice, friends, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine. From where? From the king's table. The best of the best is given to them, isn't it? What is the purpose of it all? You notice, friends, the king wanted them to enjoy the pleasures of life. Why? Because after a while, we become comfortable. We'll do anything for the sake of comfort and convenience, isn't it? And that's a reality. And that's a reason why, friends, can I say, it is always not good when a Christian life is too comfortable and convenient. Like, for example, coming to a church. Pastor, what's the hurry and what's the problem? Coming to church, we can watch online, isn't it? All right, we can just turn on anytime we want, just a minute or so, okay, before celebration starts, still in my pajamas, but that's a matter, okay? Nobody sees, nobody knows like this. Now, nothing wrong with that, provided it is not done out of comfort and convenience. That's a danger, friends, can I say, all right, for all of us. Okay, in our journey of faith, because the Bible tells us very clearly, it's in Hebrews chapter 10, do not neglect the meeting of one another, as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more so meet as we see the day approaching, isn't it? So there's always a wisdom that comes out of the Bible, and you and I know, friends, all of us in our cell groups, it cannot beat it, okay, by having Zoom call only, isn't it? And some of us are dying to meet together in person, isn't it? All right, and that's important. Of course, we understand those who are not able to because of health reasons, because of whatever reasons, we understand that, friends, you know. But as much as possible, if we can, we should try to. I know Doris and I belong to a high-risk group. We say we trust God in faith. We step up in faith and trust God. Really, that's the reality of it all. In fact, one church up north said, Pastor, then we're concerned. This doctor said to me, all right, Pastor, we're concerned whether to invite you to come. I said, I will come, lah. You pray hard, I will come. Don't worry, after all of us are going to die once anyway, isn't it? But friends, you know, that's important. We trust the Lord. We walk in faith and not in fear. Isn't it very important? But of course, it does not mean we throw caution to the wind. All right, no SOP whatsoever. No, we don't do that, as Pastor Chris mentioned. The church, in fact, is more careful about ensuring the proper SOP and procedures are followed, isn't it? So the church is one of the safest places to come, isn't it? But of course, if we're unwell, we understand, isn't it? You don't come, isn't it? Whatsoever reasons you have got, please don't. But never because of comfort and convenience, therefore we don't come anymore. That's important. And here, friends, we're out to build faith in us to trust God. My life is in God's good hands, isn't it? If he wants me to live that long, I will live that long. We trust him. We press on. And that's what we seek to do, friends, all right? To make sure that we don't allow pleasures of life to take over and to run a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ like this, isn't it? And so you notice, friends, what are they trying to do? The Babylonians are trying to inculcate in everyone a Babylonian mindset, worldview, values, and lifestyle. That's what they're trying to do. At the heart of it. And that's why you notice second half of verse 5 of chapter 1, it says, they will train for 3 years and after you enter the king's service. It's 3 years of rigorous service, right? Well, rigorous training, where you live there, all right? And go through all the rituals and everything else, okay? In a very strict training that you offer to these people. And after 3 years of training, you find that everything basically about you has been changed. And that's the purpose of all of this Babylon Academy. But friends, can I add in one more? Even Nebuchadnezzar himself is an extremely smart man. Although he went, led his army to conquer Israel or Judah at that time. He's a brilliant man, friends. Why? This is a record for us in verse 20 of Daniel chapter 1. After going through 3 years of training, you'll notice who does the testing. Who does the testing? And that's what it says here. In every matter, wisdom and understanding about how the king questioned them, he found that 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters of the whole kingdom. Friends, it is not left to scientific experts, engineering experts, and consultants to test these people. The king himself did it, and the king knew how good they are. It shows how brilliant, friends, you know, Nebuchadnezzar is. And that's why, friends, it is so important for you and to make sure that we ourselves are well-trained so that we are good, okay, and as good as possible in the different fields and disciplines where God has gifted us in. Amen. It's so, so important for all of us so that wherever you work, friends, I trust you really do well and excel. really, we must be excellent wherever we are. In fact, there's one mentoring group of business leaders up north in Ipoh. And I said to one of the senior doctors in the group, I said, would your patients and relatives of our patients see that you are an outstanding doctor? Can they see something very special in you, so unusual that they cannot wait to ask you, doctor, what makes you like that? How come you're so good in your skill as a doctor? But more than that, how come you got such a heart and compassion and love for people, and you talk to people graciously and gently, right, with a real heart of love and care for people, concern for them and concern for the future, concern for everything about us? What makes you so different? I pray, friends, for every one of us, it must create questions in the minds of our colleagues, our friends, our bosses, or our subordinates. Say, what makes you so? You really stand out as different. Amen, isn't it? I pray this is the case, friends. If people see us no different from other workers, especially when we're not Christians, sometimes we could be in trouble, friends. It means that we've been sucked in, we've been submerged. Yes, we all should be immersed in it, but should never be submerged in it. Amen. Isn't it very important for all of us? And so you notice, friends, in the case of Daniel, three friends, they were very clear, and they offer a different set of worldview, values, emphases in life to tell clearly, right, to Nebuchadnezzar and his leaders, we're different altogether. And so Daniel chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. Come, let's read again. Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare appearance with that of the young men who ate the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this test, and tested them for 10 days. And as we all know, after 10 days later, Daniel and the friends looked better, healthier, okay, and more smart than everybody else. And that's what it is, friends. And that's what makes the mark and the difference, because from Daniel 3, friends' perspective, O King Nebuchadnezzar, SPNS, the chief official, we're different. Yes, you want us to be immersed totally in Babylonian mindset, culture, values, and practices. But at the end of it all, we still want to let you know we're different. We're different. They refuse to be, as it were, Babylonized by the Babylonians. And this is so important, friends, all right, that you and I must know. Yes, we should be immersed in the culture, practices, everything, friends, okay, wherever God has put us in, amen, isn't it? All right, even Malaysia, immersed in everything Malaysian, that's very important. If you're Singapore, immersed in everything, US, wherever, we're immersed in everything. But you and I must know we're different, and we must be different. The moment we are the same, we're in trouble. Give one or two examples. Sometimes we see friends of ours, maybe even children of ours, who go overseas to study, and they come back and say to us, Mom and Dad, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe in God anymore. They literally grew up here in DUMC. Plus, of course, many other churches that I know of, even in Australia. There have been many times, sometimes some of the kids say to them, Mom and Dad, don't tell them about going to church anymore. We're not interested. Forget about it. Now, friends, can I say, usually for us as parents, how many of us, we are really worried sick? Can I see how many of you, you're worried sick? No one. God bless you. I'm very impressed with UMC parents. This is great. Only my hands is up, isn't it? All the rest of you, God bless you richly. But let's be honest about it. All right, just among the senior pastors, just last Thursday, we're talking about it. Pastor Chris was there, journey with them and mentoring all the senior pastors, different churches, different denominations. And one of the senior pastors said, you know, one of the leaders of my church who emigrated to Australia, okay, their children said, we don't believe all these things anymore. What is the reason? They've shifted their roots. They've forgotten their roots. But more than that, they've been so immersed in the culture, okay, of the place, that they've been swarmed completely and take on the mindset and the belief system of that of the world. And so, your friends, can I say to you this? If we as parents receive these kind of things from our own children or from our friend's children, tell one another. First thing, don't panic. Hello? Say to your neighbor, don't panic. That's the first thing. Don't say, sorry, don't never do that, okay? Firstly, don't panic. Secondly, sit down with them. Secondly, of course, don't panic. Secondly, pray for them. Thirdly, sit down with them. And let's have a chat. Okay? So if it's your son, you know what? Can you please explain to Dad how you come to the conclusion that there is no God anymore. Yeah, just tell me, because why? If you say there is no God anymore, surely there must be reasons you come to that conclusion, isn't it? You cannot say, no, there's no God anymore, isn't it? On the other hand, they may say, you know, science has proof that there is no God. And you can say, my son, can I tell you, there are many Christian scientists who think otherwise. In fact, there are more Christian scientists than non-Christian scientists in the whole world. That's a reality. All right? So if you say science has disproved it, that's not true at all, friends. Get onto YouTube. Tons of stuff out there said by Dr. Ravi Zacharias, okay, Dr. John Lennox, and Dr. Hugh Ross, okay, R-O-S-S. These are brilliant, outstanding Christian scientists who will prove you clearly, okay, and definitively that there's no, science cannot prove there's no God. And so there are tons of stuff available, you see. Or sometimes our children may say, Mom and Dad, you know, God is not real because he never answered my prayer. Fine, sit down, work through with your son. Understanding of prayer and everything else connected with that. Why? Because if God were to answer all our prayers, how many of us we think we'll probably be in trouble? Can I see your hands? No one here. Well, all spiritual people, okay? Right, true. Because sometimes some of our prayers are so self-centered, so selfish, unbelievable, isn't it? And it reminds me of this boy, 10-year-old boy. You know, he really, really wanted a bicycle because all his friends and his neighbors and scrubs all got wonderful fancy bike. So one evening he knelt down by their bed and said, Lord, you know, right, I'm a child of yours, you know, and all my friends have got bikes, including those who are not Christian. You know, I'm a child. I really love you. I go to church. I go to, okay, children's church regularly somehow, and somehow go to DMC somehow. Oh God, you know my heart. I'm sincere and honest, but God, please give me a bike. Okay, God, so tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, when I come out, to our house, okay, just outside our house, there'll be a bicycle waiting for me. He got up next morning, when 8 o'clock, nothing there. My goodness, what shall I do? Maybe my prayer is not good enough. So he turned on to TV channel, look at all the channels, and especially some of this health and wealth gospel of preaching, name it and claim it, isn't it? And so that night he knelt down. He said, God, you know what? Okay, I need to pray. All right. Maybe last night I didn't pray so specifically. All right. And you're confused. Therefore, I want to tell you, God, I want a BMX bicycle. It should be blue in color. Okay. And 8:30 on the dot, it should be delivered there just outside the main door. Okay. Entrance of the house. So he got excited next morning. Went there. Nothing. My goodness. He was so upset. So he looked around the house, okay, the third day, looked, and he saw a small little statuette of Mary and baby Jesus. He took that night, covered it in blanket, knelt down, and he said this, Jesus, if you want to see your mother again, you know what to do. How many of us, our prayers can be so selfish and self-centered, it's unbelievable, isn't it? And honestly, if God answered all our prayers, some of us are in trouble. Friends, can I say, God even didn't give the desire of Jesus' heart when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. You notice that? Jesus says, Father, take this cup away from me. Did God take away? Had God taken away the cup of suffering, of Jesus' death on the cross, today we won't be celebrating communion. Today you and I are deep in our sin. Amen, isn't it? And so friends, it's a misunderstanding what prayer is all about, isn't it? And it's so important. And there are many things. No time for me to go through it to try to help you understand. So don't panic. Sit down and reason with them. Or sometimes, you know, our kids come back from studies and they say, Christianity is not relevant anymore. And they get immersed in the world outside. Friends, you know, we got to confess we have not drowned our people well in Scripture, in the things of God, in a Christian worldview. We got to confess about that really, right? That our people's life could be shifted just like this, isn't it? And so, friends, you know, we don't have to worry and panic. There is a way to deal with it. Yes, we should be immersed, but we shouldn't be submerged and totally swept off our feet, isn't it? And follow the ways of the world. And so the Christian faith is not a blind faith. The Christian faith is based on evidence, isn't it? So he said, if there's no God, let me show you evidence to prove, all right, that there is. Okay, and so many things we can wrestle. So friends, don't panic. Pray. And then sit down. Just have a chat. And slowly, slowly help them to understand that they have moved the foundation. They've shifted the roots and get them back on track, even though they are immersed in the systems of the world. Friends, we don't have to submerge and be drowned in the process. Amen, isn't it? That's the third way, friends, and it's important to help them to shine like stars in the universe. And the third thing, friends, for them all is really, okay? For them all, it's really to fear God more than fearing man. You notice that the third important mark of these three friends together with Daniel is that they fear God more than anything else, anyone else. They're not intimidated at all, friends, in all the challenges, all right, they go through in life. A good example, here we talk about fearing God. It says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, where it says, show proper respect to everyone, love the brother of believers, fear God, honor the king. It is never, friends, fear the king and honor God. And that's so important. Why is this the case? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29 and verse 25, like this, fear of men will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept saved. Friends, if we fear men, we'll be intimidated. We'll be terrified. And that's what people want to do this to us. They want to intimidate, to threaten, and say, if you don't do this, we're going to give you trouble. We're going to kill you, all kinds of things, friends. So that we are so fixated, okay, about men, that we've forgotten a bigger picture, friends. You and I must look at God and not look at men, friends. Hello, are you there? No matter how powerful, how successful they are, it's immaterial compared to God. And that's what, friends, this, okay, three friends of Daniel together, Daniel has lessons to teach. What are the things they can teach us? Firstly, friends, they know that they have total dependence upon God. The first mark about fearing God more than fearing man is that there is absolute faith and trust in God. And here in this instance, Daniel chapter 6, is when Daniel was thrown to the lions, all right, because he stood firm and refused to budge, he was thrown to the lions. And at the end, when he was delivered, this is what Daniel said to King Darius, who signed the edict for Daniel to be thrown into the lions. But of course, it is cooked up and concocted by all these people envious about Daniel's success and everything else. And so, second half of verse 23 of Daniel 6, it says like this, when Daniel was lifted up from the den, no wound was found on him because he trusted in his God. And so that's the first thing, friends, you and I must know. Trust in God. That's so critically important if there's a fear of man, because we look to God and never man. Hello, are you there, isn't it? All right, so that man will become smaller and smaller if our focus is because our trust and our faith is in God. The second thing about it is a deep intimacy with God in prayer. See, when the edict was passed to say that anyone who prays to any other God except to King Darius for the next 30 days will be thrown to the lions. What happens when Daniel got that edict? Although without his knowledge, without his assent to the whole thing. All right, when this was passed, what did Daniel do? Verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6 together. Now when Daniel learned the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God as he had done before. Undeterred, not frightened at all. Edict is there. My life is on the line. Daniel says, no matter what, I talk to him. I depend upon him. I interact with him. I bring my concerns and everything else to him. And that's what you and I need to do, friends. When there's a real fear of God, your walk with God and your prayer life will be so intimate, you're unafraid about what happens, isn't it? Thirdly, friends, all right, there's a word of God as a foundation as well as guide for their lives. And again, Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, where it says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolate Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer, petition, and fasting, and sackcloth and ashes. That's what happens, friends. When we begin to understand the word of God more and more, it will lead us into God-directedness in our life and living. And that's so important, isn't it? If we're going to remain firm and steadfast, this book must be central in our life and living, isn't it? When we live by this, friends, we have no fear. Because why? We know where we are going at the heart of it all. One final thing for all of us, friends. You notice for Daniel and the friends, they were unafraid to testify about God. Given them half a chance, they will speak about God, isn't it? And here is an instance whereby Nebuchadnezzar tells all the people, especially wise men, okay, of Babylon, all right, I've got a dream, but I will not tell you the dream. Don't say, you got to tell me my dream, but you got to interpret for me. Of course, all the enchanters, magicians, and the wise men of Babylon, they went into panic.
How do we know what your dream is? Tell us your dream, and then we'll tell you. And so when Daniel came before Nebuchadnezzar, all right, Nebuchadnezzar said the same as well. Tell me, all right, my dream, and then give interpretation. Daniel said, okay, give me 3 days. Let me go back, consult. Let me talk to my God. And that's what it is for all of us like this. And so, friends, you know, all right, when they came, this is the record for us, Daniel chapter 2, verses 27 and the first part of 28, when eventually Daniel came to Nebuchadnezzar and told Nebuchadnezzar his dream and then the interpretation of the dream. And this is what it is that Daniel says like this. All right, Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. There's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Daniel is unafraid, friends, fearless about testifying to God. The point is, are you and I afraid to share, talk about God, talk about Jesus in our place of work, in our school, college, university, in our neighborhood? Friends, and this is the crux of it all. If this God is good and so very good and all gospel agree, say, all right, how can we not talk about him, isn't it? All right, in fact, it is a crime, say, not to talk, because he's been so, so amazingly good towards all of us, isn't it? And so, friends, you know, it must impel us forward to want to talk and share. And you know this, friends, throughout the book of Daniel, several times, the Babylonian kings and the Medes and Persian kings will actually testify to this great God of Daniel and his three friends. And so one example here, Daniel chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. And this is what, you know, King Darius would say after Daniel was lifted up, okay, from the lion's den. This is now a non-Christian king who talks about Daniel's God like this. Come, let's read together, okay, one finally. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So even a non-Christian king will testify, my goodness, your God is really great and our God is great, and all God's people say, isn't it? Speak and testify about it, and that's so important. That's what will make a mark and difference. That's what makes, okay, friends, brings the inroad wherever God has put us in. And so important, isn't it? All right? And so what is the burden of you all? If you're going to shine like stars, if you're going to transform society, even Malaysian society, how do we do it? It is one at a time. One at a time. Amen? Just one at a time. Never underestimate the number one, isn't it? Like, for example, how many committed Christians are there in the Klang Valley? At least 100,000. See, about 5% of the population of the whole Klang Valley is Christian. All right, I'm talking about committed Christian. Okay, and what happens is this, that in a population of 7.5 million in the Klang Valley, 5% is something like over 300,000, slightly over 300,000. If we pare it down to really seriously committed Christians like everyone in UMC. Hello, no amen. Okay, let's pare it down to 100,000. Now think about it, 100,000 committed Christians in the Klang Valley, and every one of us is involved in influencing, impacting, changing, leading them to faith in Christ. What happens? By next year, it'll be 200,000, isn't it? And then the following year, it'll be 400,000 and 800,000. Friends, in 10 years, we've changed the whole Klang Valley. And that's why it's so important, friends, the secret lies with you and me. What is wrong with Malaysian society? It is not out there. It is what is wrong with the church. It is what is wrong with Christians. Hello, are you there? Don't blame society outside. They are not salt and light. What do you expect? It will only get worse. So the problem, friends, is not with them. The problem is with us Christians. We repent, confess, ask for forgiveness. We have not been salt and light the way we ought to be seen. But never mind. Never too late. Now all God's people say. Okay, just last Sunday I was preaching up. Okay, as the doors were closed. Just last Sunday I was preaching up in Penang. All right? Georgetown Baptist Church. And they put me in this hotel. Okay, just overnight flew in Saturday, flew back on Sunday, and checked into this hotel. Next morning, I look at the clock. I said, I've got time to go to the gym before I go to preach. So I went to the gym. Okay, at the end of my work in the gym, all right, there's a lady attendant overseeing the gym. I went up to her. I said, thank you very much for taking care of the gym and everything else, all of us, okay? By the way, what's your name? He said, my name is Gayathri. Good to meet you, Gayathri, okay, with the name tag there. Gayathri, you know, thank you so much indeed. You know, my name is Daniel. I'm a pastor from Malaysia. You're very fortunate. Out of 7 billion people, okay, God take a pastor to meet with you, share with her, okay? And I noticed she's struggling in English. Okay, I said, by the way, Saya Padri, okay? Gereja Mia Padri, I'm a pastor from a church, okay, that equality. Lumpur and so forth. You know what? Suddenly she started tearing and she made me pull up her sleeve and show me a tattoo of the cross. And then she took, okay, a Gideon New Testament and showed me she's trying to read, struggling to read it. I said, you know, Gayathri, you're special. God has put me here just for you. Cried and cried, pray for her and lead her to faith in Christ in Bahasa Samo. Oh, not bad at my Bahasa. Okay, all right. Pray for her. She was tearing like crazy. So, so grateful. At the end, I said, tell me a bit more about yourself. I've got 8 children. How old are you? 41 years old. What about your husband? 52 years old. Where is he? In prison. For drugs. She said, I've dumped him. So irresponsible. I struggle like crazy to try to hold the family together. 8 kids. And she's so well trained by the hotel. I gave her a small gift. She said, no, cannot. I said, no, really. It's out of my heart, quietly, just to be. I said, really, seriously, just take it. But friends, you know, here is each one of us just touching one. Amen. Just touching one. Just touching one. And I text my good friend up in Penang, Pastor San Surendran. Can you make sure, send someone to follow me up? I do want to refer her to Georgetown Baptist Church, because why, that church largely middle-class people like D.U.M. Sila. Hello? I want to refer more working-class people. Working-class people will follow up well, isn't it? Okay? One more story. Is it okay? One more story. All right? 6 years ago, I flew up to Penang also to speak at a meeting. And then what happens is I realize I've got a Form 6 classmate. They have not met since 1970 when we left school. So I managed to get his number and I call him. Hey, my friend, you know, I'm coming to Penang or I'm staying in this hotel. Can we meet for a chat, that kind of thing? All right. Okay. I said, sure. Okay. So we met up for the first time after something like 44 years later. I chatted and talked, had a wonderful coffee together. I said, hey, by the way, are you a Christian? He said, no. I said, you know what? God has specially sent me for you, just for you today. You know, we chatted and talked. And then he said, you know what? Actually, you know what? What happens was, I was involved in a Methodist Youth Fellowship. We were coming from Anglo-Chinese school in Ipoh, that Methodist. So I got involved. You know why I go there? I said, I thought you're not Christian. I'm not Christian. You know why I go there? Because there are a lot of pretty girls there. That's why I go. Okay? Typical. All right. Okay. All right. And it was good. It was good. That kind of thing. And then the following year, they had election, okay, for the president of the MYF. Okay? You know what? Nobody wanted to meet. So I put in my hand and volunteer. My goodness, a non-Christian becomes president of the MYF. Church, can you pray for the Methodist Church? We're in big, big trouble, isn't it? All right. And so eventually led him to faith in Christ, again referring, all right, the Pastor Sam, hey, can you make sure to follow up? Okay, today, happily baptized and faithful in serving, witnessing for the Lord. Friends, you know, just one at a time, and in no end. If we all do this at Klang Valley, I believe, friends, you know, we'll touch this nation. Amen. Never underestimate the number of one. Those of you in school, college, university, if Daniel 3 friends as teenagers can make such a huge impact, no reason why I believe, isn't it, that we cannot do it if we follow these principles as outlined for us in the book of Daniel. All God's people say, come, let us pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just wonder if there is anyone here who is not a Christian. We have not taken a step of faith to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, including those of you watching online as well. If you have not, I want to lead you in this prayer. Very simple, 4 steps. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Believe Christ died on the cross for your sin. Ask Him to forgive you. And 4th, invite Him as Lord and Savior. All right, so if you'd like to, will you follow after me quietly in your heart as I lead you in this prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, I thank and I praise you for your love for me. I want to say that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me and are coming to my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and enable me, O God, to live as a Christian from today onwards. Give me your power, your strength, your wisdom, your love. So help me, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, seal it deep in the heart and life of all those who pray this prayer, whether in person here in this auditorium or online. Bless each one of these, Father, I pray. And Lord, I pray they'll be full up in the life of the church. They'll be disciples. They'll belong to, a cell group, Father, I pray. And really, Father, be nurtured strong in faith that together we reach out and touch the world for Jesus Christ. Lord, help us all, Father, I pray. And finally, can I ask you to stand? I want to close in prayer to pray for every one of us. That God will fill and empower us really. That we will really be people who make a difference wherever God is. Never underestimate who you are, where you are, in your company, in your school, college. You may be just a small fellow, as it were. But friends, in God, you are powerful. Amen. You fear God more than you fear man. You are never intimidated by men, by whoever they are. Friends, in God, we trust and take us on. Can you lift up your hands and let me pray? Our Father, we come to you, Lord. We are grateful to you, Father, how you've given such amazing examples in Scripture, even the life of Daniel and the three friends. Young teenagers and making such remarkable impact and influence in the Babylonian Empire, as well as, oh God, the Medo-Syrian and Medo-Persian Empire. We praise and we thank you, Lord. Help us to glean precious lessons from this, Father, I pray. And help us to know how to put this into practice wherever you put us in, oh God, I pray. Lead and guide us and enable us, Father, I pray, oh God, to make a mark and a difference wherever you put us in. It might be small beginnings, but Father, everything starts small. But we know it will begin to build up. It will eventually snowball. It will eventually influence and impact, oh God, the Klang Valley, Malaysia, and beyond for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us never to forget, Father, our roots, oh God, to keep firm and steadfast. To be unafraid to take a stand, oh God, to know who we are as we fellowship, to remind, to inspire one another, to keep our identity, but also, Father, oh God, to know our destiny through Scriptures, oh God, they will be built up strong, so make a mark. So help us, oh Father, I pray, they will begin from today onwards for every one of us if we have not started, Father, I pray. So bless us all, Father, I ask, oh God, in Jesus' wonderful name, God's wonderful people say, amen, amen, amen. We give a clap offering to Jesus.